Is it A Midsummer Night's Dream or just Much Ado About Nothing? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
As always, Barry, it's great to be with you. You know, we're sitting here on a Sunday night recording this program, expecting really bad weather, and getting some interesting news from out and about, which I'm sure we'll let the folks know about at some point, where we've got some plans being made. So it's always interesting coming in here to the studio to find out what we're going to get hit in the face with next.
Well, yes, that's true. And this time around, what we're digging up, like I said in the teaser, is it, I wonder if it's A Midsummer Night's Dream or if it's Much Ado About Nothing. What it is, and some of you out there may have heard about it or maybe have asked to be involved in it, is a petition. Now, this petition is a little different than other petitions that have been going around. This one, Chuck, is one that is regarding the internal operations of an organization. No, this isn't a boycott petition from American Family Association or one of those groups, nor is it like a petition from the ACLJ in regard to some things that the ACLU has been up to. This petition, which was circulated back on, I think, Friday of this last week, was put together by a group of conservatives in Ohio, including a number of folks in the Tea Party movement, some social conservative leadership, etc. And it was a petition that was directed to leadership of the Ohio Republican Party. And what do you think that these Tea Party / conservative leaders were petitioning the state Republican Party to do?
I already know what they were doing. They were petitioning them to get the boat back on the proper course.
Right, to basically stick to your platform and stick to the supposedly fundamental beliefs of the Republican Party. Now, Chuck, that seems like fairly sensible, commonsensical, and honorable thing to do is if you have a statement of beliefs, such as what a platform is, that as an organization, such as the Ohio Republican Party is, that you would try to align your actions with your beliefs. We call that having a consistent worldview, right?
Well, that's what we call it.
Well, yeah, and we're talking about it from our terms. So that's what we call it, and that's what it's going to be called right now. But what these conservatives and Tea Party folks were concerned about was they feel that there may be a crisis in the Republican worldview in Ohio. And they're feeling rather, shall we say, sensitive about the issue. And they state it here, and they basically says, well, you know, while the signers, and there were at least on the initial dropping of this document, there were 83 signers on this document from around the state of Ohio. And like I said, it's a list of everybody, or I won't name particular names, but leaders of local Tea Party groups, leaders of local and statewide pro-life, pro-family, pro-conservative organizations, names that people in our listening audience would know. They would, not all of them that would they know, but some of them they would hear and they'd be like, oh, I know that person, or yes, I know their organization, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But these 83 folks basically said, well, while the signers put emphases on different policies, which I think that's probably a fair assumption, given the mix of folks that signed this letter, all the signers believe Ohio is best served with limited government and low taxation, affirm the definition of marriage as one man and one woman as specified in Ohio's Constitution, stand for the right to life for unborn children, and believe that the state Republican Party chairman should reflect and fight for these values. Right there, Chuck, in the opening paragraph, they've sent the first salvo across.
Oh, absolutely, Barry. And it's very interesting that I noticed some names on here, and again, we're not going to name specifics, who are Central Committee members, but who haven't signed the letter as Central Committee members.
Right.
They've signed them as leaders in other organizations.
Right, exactly.
I don't totally understand that.
Well, for some of these, it may just be that they want to be careful about to what extent they feel maybe there's more oomph or power or influence behind their other organizations than behind the state central committee. And I would agree with that, given what's happening right now. Like I said, they tipped their hand a little bit here in the first paragraph when they started talking about the chairman of the party. Because, Chuck, as you know, and I'm sure our listeners may have heard, the state Republican Party is getting ready to change their chairman. Right now, the current chairman, who was really an interim chairman, who, when the governor didn't like the former chairman, Kevin DeWine, who used to be a former state representative, Governor Kasich and his folks put together a very big push, and they ousted Kevin DeWine from the chairmanship of the Republican Party in Ohio. Well, they had a split between the moderates, which I say are represented by the governor and his people, and the social conservatives in the state central committee, because it's the state central committee of the Republican Party, and that is one man and one woman from each of Ohio's 33 state Senate districts. That's how that works. So there's 66 members of the state Republican Central Committee. There was a split among the more moderate wing of that party and the more conservative wing of that group. And what happened was they couldn't reach a consensus, and so an interim chairman was appointed at the request of the governor, and it happened to be Bob Bennett, who was the former chairman prior to Mr. DeWine being chairman of the party. Now, Chuck, I'm sure that this is kind of very much inside baseball for people, yeah, but Bob Bennett is no conservative, okay? Let's just put it flat out. He's not a social conservative. As a matter of fact, he's infamous for publicly trying to berate social conservatives who were opposed to a Republican that he had put forward for a statewide office because of their position on homosexual marriage. And he attacks social conservatives, calling them racist because the woman in question happened to be African American. His big problem was the people who had made the comment were also African American, and so he kind of lost on that argument.
Never let the facts get in the way of a good emotional, non-logical barrage.
Exactly.
This is rather typical of the inside game of the Republican Party insiders. And all this basically shows is that the moderates who control the party will do anything to make sure that conservatives never get a hold of the apparatus of the party itself. Because once that happens, that means they actually start running conservative candidates, and the moderates find themselves basically at the back of the bus. And they only get elected in districts that are in places like near Cleveland, where basically a conservative can't get elected.
Right. But we can't have that in the party. So Bob Bennett was appointed as the interim chairman, and who was then later voted in as the full chairman. Now, he's in the middle of the term, Chuck. He was voted in last year in 2012 during the primary cycle, or when they had their organizing meeting. And, of course, they wanted him as the chairman through the presidential election because he had all this experience in running the party, etc. And, yes, Ohio lost the presidential race to Barack Obama. But yeah, That's okay. Well, Bob Bennett has announced he's stepping down in May of this year, that he wasn't planning on being there for a full term. The handpicked replacement for Bob Bennett, picked not just by Bennett, but by the governor and his advisors, is a gentleman by the name of Matt Borges, who has been a party operative for a number of years. Well, the big problem with Mr. Borges is that when he was, I believe, chief of staff for former state treasurer Joe Dieters from Cincinnati, Mr. Borges was using the power of the office to coerce folks into giving money to his boss in exchange for promises of favors. He pled guilty to a misdemeanor for improper use of a public office in a bribery investigation. Well, that's not what's got these social conservatives so upset. That's one thing. But the big thing is, when Mr. Borges left government service, he started becoming a lobbyist. And who was one of his major clients, Chuck?
Well, it was Equality Ohio.
Who are the pro-homosexual lobby. They're the state-level affiliate for the Human Rights Campaign, which are the folks who lobby for homosexual special preferences. Well, that means Mr. Borges was getting paid to push homosexual marriage, to push ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, etc., back to Republican legislators. Well, then, since that gig didn't pan out for him because they couldn't get the bill passed, he then went to work for the Ohio Republican Party. He was actually the campaign manager, I believe, for now Congressman Bob Gibbs. And he ran Bob Gibbs' campaign for Congress, and they reward him when he does a great job. And so then he gets to become what's called the executive director of the Ohio Republican Party. And now to be anointed, because, funny, Chuck, there are no other candidates showing up out there. Just Mr. Borges, who's already been given the anointing by outgoing Chairman Bob Bennett and by the governor, that Borges will take over the party as the chairman of the party in May. Well, this has got this social conservative group very up in arms, considering the fact that, well, number one, Ohio has a Defense of Marriage Act in their constitution. They believe in one man, one woman marriage. That was part of what they said in their opening statement. And number two, that they know that homosexual rights groups are working right now and circulating petitions to get on the ballot to basically eradicate the marriage amendment of 2004. And it looks like they might have enough signatures to get on the ballot this November. So what happens if you have a state party who otherwise is supposed to stand for traditional natural marriage, whose head, the chairman of the party, lobbied for the other side?
Well, Barry, this is a virtual guaranteed split in the party.
I'm thinking it might very well be that case. Now, this also comes on the heels of a couple of other issues, Chuck. Number one is the governor basically saying, we want to spend like the Egyptians. And he goes out and says, we need to go after these $13 billion a year in federal dollars that the Obama administration is dangling in front of Ohio, and we'll expand Medicaid to another, I believe it's like somewhere between 600,000 and 900,000 eligible recipients, or people who would be then newly eligible under the new rules. This has got the entire GOP, especially in the House of Representatives, who are dealing with the budget right now, they are in a very, very ugly time at this point. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes between the social conservatives and the moderates in the party, and things are starting to spill out of the caucus room and into the public airing. There's a major split here about whether they're going to vote to expand Medicaid or going to vote to reject the governor, and thus probably, Chuck, I would say, do a serious dent in the governor's 2014 reelection plans, because he's really gone out on a limb with this Medicaid expansion.
Well, let's not kid the folks either. That 2014 reelection is the stepping stone to a 2016 presidential run.
Right, and that's going around, and folks, and that's not us just saying it. That has been floating around for quite a while, that Don Kasich is definitely interested in being in the pack for the 2016 Republican presidential nomination. So, in other words, he's gone out on a limb publicly, even chiding lawmakers that they don't think big enough if they don't embrace this huge, massive increase in federal money coming into Ohio, and with its all of its concomitant rules and restrictions, and taking the promises of the feds that the money will always be there. Funny how the money will always be there, Chuck. I think I heard that the United States Senate finally just passed a budget, and it has a $1 trillion tax hike in it. Considering that it's going to take $6.2 trillion of new debt in order to fund all this Medicaid expansion to the states from the federal government, I would say that that's probably just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, unless we get the folks out there, and unfortunately we're running short on time, but unless we get the folks out there to start getting in contact with their United States congressmen, their representatives in Congress, we're going to find ourselves stuck with a tax increase, because John Boehner has no spine in this area.
Oh, no, not at all.
No, none whatsoever. He's willing to cave. And here's how they'll do it to you. They will not actually raise taxes. They will cut deductions. So prepare to lose. If you pay a tithe check to your church, prepare to lose that as a deduction.
Right.
If you have a mortgage, prepare to lose the interest as a deduction.
In other words, prepare to just pay a 40% flat tax rate on any income you bring in, because that's what it'll end up amounting to.
Yeah, they won't raise the rate. I think the top rate's 39%.
Well, that's what I'm saying, 40. It's somewhere in that range.
Right. Yeah, just prepare to write a check, because your withholding, of course, will suddenly go up. Now, what we've been seeing lately with the most recent withholding increases, who's being blamed for it? Is it the government who basically caused it?
Oh, no.
It's the employers.
Yeah.
The employers are being blamed for this, because, let's face it, nobody wants to blame Barack Obama, whom they voted for. It can't be his fault, because he said he wasn't going to raise taxes.
Well, you know, Chuck, this is kind of a microcosm of what's... And ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to state my position right now. I'm not signing this petition because I think it's a waste of time, because I believe that the party is doing exactly what the party has always done, which is use social conservatives and fiscal conservatives and Tea Party folks to get into office and get elected. And once there, basically telling them, well, now that we're here, you've got to listen to us and do what we say. And this isn't going to change no matter how many of them sign a petition. They're still dead set on Governor Kasich getting Medicaid expansion. They're still dead set on Matt Borges being the next party chairman. They are still dead set on making sure that when it comes time, they'll make noises about sticking to the platform and everybody sticking together and how bad the Democrats are and how horrible life would be if the Democrats were in control. And Chuck, I'm going to just throw out a prediction now. I'd say probably a fairly good percentage of the names on this petition will hear those feigned promises and go right back to the GOP and help them continue to try to retain their power for another cycle, saying it'll be different this time.
I know at least one on this list that I see right now, but we can't discuss that. We're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.